Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. Do us a favor, like this video, leave us a five-star review, share with your friends. These are such important topics that we cover on this show because we as Christians need to be equipped to walk through these hard issues in our culture. So today I'm going to talk about this. What influence does parenting have over a child's sexuality or gender issues? This is a big topic, and I want to tread very, very carefully here. But I thought about this because I want to respond to a post that I saw a Facebook friend make a couple of days ago. This Facebook friend is named Peter Volk, and he is a Side B proponent. I've talked about Side B before on this podcast. Side B Christianity believes that people, that sexuality, especially homosexuality, same-sex attraction, is just innate part of who you are. They identify that way. They label themselves as gay. Many times they promote celibate gay Christianity. And I've talked about that before on the pitfalls and how I think it's unbiblical and harmful. So there's many previous episodes in which I cover that. So I'm not going to go in extreme detail on that this week. But I do want to respond to one of his Facebook posts. This was a couple days ago, and I will bring it up on the screen. He said this: what's the evidence for abuse or bad parenting makes kids gay or trans? And he had several posts on this, and another one said something about bad parenting doesn't make your kids queer, or your kids aren't queer because of bad parenting. So let's look at his caption here. He says, bad parenting didn't make your kid queer. Some churches will teach parents that LGBT plus questions only show up in families where something went wrong. Bad parenting, bad fathering, bad mothering, bad marriage, not enough prayer, too much culture. We don't know the exact mix of nature and nurture that contributes to same-sex attraction or gender incongruence, but we do know there is zero scientific evidence for bad parenting or sexual abuse or anything like that making kids gay or trans. And so that was quite the statement that he made there. And he had a lot of pushback from both myself and other people who have similar stories as I do. And so I just want to take some time and answer the questions like this: is it bad parenting that makes your kids queer? And he's using queer as an umbrella of either gay or transgender outside of the norm. And that is a big question. And there's a lot to unpack. And first of all, I want to say that we don't blame parents for their child's sin. We have a parents ministry here at Calibrate. If you're a parent of an LGBTQ child, you should send me a message about it. I'd love to get you involved. And we are very, very careful to not blame parents for their child's sin and choices that they're making, the lifestyle that they're living. Each person will stand before God and give an account for their life. But we don't want to ignore patterns that might lead to someone having same-sex attraction. And there's a very delicate balance there of not ignoring these patterns and yet not giving undue shame to parents. So there are some patterns that we've observed for decades. And some of these patterns were first noticed by Dr. Nicolosi. Dr. Joseph Nicolosi was I think he had a degree in psychology, but he started to do a lot of ministry to people with same-sex attraction and started trying to understand what was driving it. And, you know, I know a lot of people who are familiar with Dr. Nicolosi's work. And I think there's a lot of validity to it. He started this work decades ago. He is now passed. He's no longer living. I think that other people are building on what he started. And as with anything, when you start to study something, you don't get it always completely right. But I do think that Dr. Nicolosi got a lot of things right. I will say that as he was teaching on these patterns of what could contribute to same-sex attraction, there were a lot of times when churches or Christians would use his work as kind of a weapon against parents. And I know parents personally, some of them are probably listening right now, who were the victim of that, of people making assumptions like, well, Dr. Nicolosi said that if you have a gay child, then you must have done this wrong. And we don't want to do that. That is, and I don't think that Dr. Nicolosi would want that either. So we don't want to use any of these patterns or family dynamics as a weapon against parents. We just want understanding. We don't want to place blame. We just want understanding. And understanding helps deal with kids who are already struggling, and it helps prevent kids from struggling in the future. And so I want to throw that out there, because we need a massive amount of grace towards parents. Dr. Nicolosi is no longer with us, but his son, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi Jr., is continuing on in his work. And I was at a conference last month, and I heard Dr. Nicolosi Jr. speak and gave a wonderful presentation on some of these patterns that cause male homosexuality. And I don't believe that they're unbiblical. I believe that they fit patterns in scripture of the human heart and our heart responding to our circumstances. And so I was really intrigued by his work, and I'm thankful for it. And so I want to talk about two of these most prevalent patterns that we see. The first of all is an emotionally distant dad and an emotionally kind of enmeshed or overbearing or highly anxious mom. We see that over and over again. I see that in guys' lives. And there's a lot of nuances and caveats there. But I see this woundedness from fathers that ends up developing into same-sex attraction. The second aspect is sexual abuse. And this is highly, highly prevalent. Back when I was a new believer, and I was starting to do all this research, and I was hearing all these stories and of people who had overcome homosexuality, and I was going to conferences. At one of the conferences I went to called Love Went Out, one of their speakers was Melissa Freirier, worked for Focus on the Family. And I heard her say that counselors had come to the conclusion or observed that with women who had struggled with homosexuality, had this deep-rooted same-sex attraction, about 90% of them had had sexual abuse from a man as a girl. And then with men, it was about 70% had been sexually abused by another man. And so that's obviously way more than just the general population. And I've seen those dynamics at play in people's lives who I have ministered to. And there's obviously some connections there. But we always have to be careful and not put people into a box and not make those assumptions. But those patterns are so prevalent that we need to understand them. And so we just can't ignore them. And as I was reading through the comments on Peter's post the last couple of days, there were a lot of guys who were very, very offended by his post because they've been sexually abused. And what Peter had done was deny the effect that the abuse had on them. And that is not fair to those victims of abuse to deny the effects that abuse had had. And when it comes to these family dynamics, it can be really, really tricky. And I see this pattern over and over again of a very emotionally distant father and somewhat of a too emotionally close mother to a young boy. And again, we don't want to make assumptions. We don't want to blame parents because I really see when that dynamic plays out, I came up with three kind of different categories that I would put them in. One is this sin and abuse neglect, like blatant outright sin towards your kids, outright neglect towards them from the hands of the father, being emotionally, sometimes physically abusive, rejecting the child. That is very, very clear. And that's curious where parents need to repent, right? And ask for God's mercy, which is available to them. The second category is parents doing the best that we can, but with blind spots. Like none of us parents are perfect, right? And some dads just are not equipped to connect with their kids well. And it's that's something that parents need to be on their knees in prayer for. And it's really, really hard. But some dads just grew up not being in an environment where there is emotional connections, and they have a hard time connecting with their kids. And sometimes I've seen that play out where like the older son is a lot like the dad, and the same things, into the same hobbies, and connects really well with the older son. And then the younger son is really sensitive and not into the same things, maybe very artistic. And the dad doesn't know how to affirm the younger son. And sometimes there's some maybe willful negligence there that needs to be repented of. Some of it is just a blind spot and a parent doing the best that they can and not knowing how to do this well. And so we want to give grace there. And then the third category would be a healthy environment, but with misperceptions. Many times this a kind of emotional detachment between a father and his son. Sometimes it's an emotional, negligence on the act on the part of the father. Sometimes the father is emotionally incapable, but sometimes it's a misperception on behalf of the son, right? We all have hearts that deceive us. We all have hearts that misperceive things. I've seen these misperceptions be really small circumstances in the family. Like the dad is working a lot and the son feels really, really rejected. And so as we explore that, it could be that the dad had made an idol out of work. It could be that the dad wanted fancy, nice toys and he neglected his family to get those. It could be that the dad just didn't want to be engaged with his family at home. And so he used work all the time as an excuse to not be home. Or it could be that the family needed to eat and a dad was doing whatever he could to provide for his family. And that was honorable. But for a little boy, it's really easy to misperceive those different circumstances and not understand. And those misperceptions can grow and build and cause a gap or a disturbance in a boy's attachment towards his father. And then when you combine that with maybe a little bit of an overbearing mother or an anxious mother or mother who tries to overcompensate for the father's absence, it can cause a lot of issues, and that can lead to same-sex attraction. We've been seeing that for decades. I really don't think that that pattern should be controversial. And it's, again, we don't want to just blame parents, but when parents have seen these patterns, like, they can sometimes repent, and God's grace is, sufficient for that. We have to try to understand, was this a misperception from the child, or was it something that a blind spot from the parent, or was it actual sin and abuse and neglect from the parent? And we respond as parents differently based on which category that falls into. So these understanding these dynamics are just important for our discipleship. It helps understand the lies that we have believed and exchange them back for God's truth. I talk a lot about Romans 1, this progression of the exchange truth about God for a lie, and they worship creation instead of the creator. And that led them to lustful desires and desires for the same gender. God gave them over that lust. And they had sexual relations with one another, and they suffered due penalty for their error. That's the pattern that leads to homosexuality. And we want to understand what caused those lies, what contributed to those lies, what were those lies. And these family dynamics and sexual abuse can contribute to those lies. When a child is sexually abused, whether it's by a parent or another family member, anyone else, they start to believe lies about themselves. And those lies can lead to them choosing sin. So they are culpable for their sin. And yet, in God's grace, he can reveal to them the lies that they had believed that led them to that place. And that's by God's grace that he does that. And so I believe that Peter's post was short-sighted and unbiblical and untrue. And it was denying this reality for so many men and women who have been abused, who have had unhealthy dynamics. And we saw that people were horrified, that people would deny the effects that abuse had on them. And so we don't want to deflect the responsibility that we all have for our own sin. We need to take responsibility for our own sin. And yet part of the discipleship journey can be understanding these lies that we have believed, understanding how our past is affecting our present and our future. I've spoken on here before about Alan Chambers. Alan Chambers was the president of Exodus International, a big umbrella organization over all these other so-called ex-gay ministries. And Alan closed down the organization in 2011, and he since then became kind of gay-affirming, kind of hyper-grace-focused on God's grace is sufficient for anything. Therefore, you know, God doesn't have any expectation of our repentance. And I saw recently a really, really, really good article in the Christian Post by Justin Greenfield. And Justin was very involved with Exodus, and he actually had conversations with Alan about this back in the day. And then Alan, if you didn't know, recently was arrested for sexually enticing a 14-year-old boy. And so that's caused kind of big headlines. And Justin wrote this in this article. He said, the other critical change that Alan started making years before Exodus shut down was to remove any recommended resources that identified and suggested informed care techniques for the root issues that can lead to homosexuality. But what are you doing if not addressing root issues? Those things like childhood sexual love deficits, wounds from abuse, specific lies, unforgiveness, sinful childhood defenses, detachment from same-sex parent, fear, shame, guilt, codependency, among others. These are among the consistent patterns as to how people end up struggling with these issues that illuminate specific strategies to target unique spiritual strongholds. And I thought that there's so much truth to that statement in this article. And so Alan gave up on believing that we should deal with these root issues, and it led him to a really horrible place. And now he is in jail because of it. And so I don't see ignoring these root issues as being fruitful in people's lives. It's really ignoring discipleship. And I want to be clear that this isn't advocating for just modern psychology, secular psychology, anything like that. I think that this is biblical. This is Romans 1 of the exchange truth about God for a lie. And it is, I think, fruitful for us to understand those lies that we have believed as we go down this course of discipleship. And it's important to understand that sometimes we just have to move forward with obedience, even when we don't understand our past. But when we can understand it, we allow God to use that understanding to help us find healing. You know, Jeremiah tells us that our hearts are deceitful. Who can understand them? Well, the Lord understands them for one thing, but sometimes we are humans. We have limited understanding. And so I always find this hard balance as you travel down this journey of sanctification and discipleship of, I want to understand the lies that I believe. I want to understand how my past affected me. But at the same time, even if I don't get a full understanding, I will be obedient to Christ. And I'm not going to make demands on God to give me full understanding, but I will allow the Holy Spirit to reveal in me different lies that I may have believed that led me there, so I can exchange them back for His truth. And so we don't want to deny that. We want to give massive amounts of grace to parents, but it is irresponsible for people like Peter to deny that childhood dynamics, experiences, or trauma have an effect on our sexuality or our gender identity. And so, and that really goes for all of sexuality, right? Women who have daddy issues can be promiscuous as out of a response. They believed lies because of their experience with their father. And now they're choosing sin and they have a propensity towards certain sins because of father issues. You know, myself and my siblings, we all grew up in the same environment. Some of it was really good and some of it was bad. And I ended up, you know, identifying as gay and having same-sex attraction, and they didn't. But all four of us are sinners. But We all have different personalities. We have different hearts, and our unique personalities responded to the same circumstances in different ways. And that all led to different sin issues in our lives that we try to use to get something that we weren't entitled to. So we all end up being sinners just in different ways. So as parents, we need to understand that our child's biggest need is a new heart that only Jesus can give them. We should be on our knees praying for them, shepherding them with wisdom. They are all going to struggle with something, and our shepherding of them does matter. Our family dynamics matter. Our emotional attachment to them does matter. At the end of the day, though, then we have to give the results up to God. We have to trust their hearts and their soul to the Lord and keep praying for them. And we have humility and we repent of where we've gone wrong. We apologize for mistakes that we make as the Lord illuminates those in our lives. And we trust that the Lord loves them far beyond what any of us as parents ever could. And that should lead us to a massive amount of humility as we parent our kids. It should lead us to be on our knees, to seeking wisdom from above, seeking wisdom from the Lord, and trying to cultivate a relationship with Christ in them and trying to shepherd deep areas of their hearts. I think that as parents, part of our job and our vision for that should be to help our kids process what lies that they are believing as they grow through different stages of childhood and adolescence and into adulthood. What messages are they picking up from us and from the world? And how are they processing and just receiving the world and receiving our care? And those are conversations that take humility as parents. And I think that all generations have blind spots, and previous generations had a blind spot of that lack of humility and of deep shepherding of their kids and trying to understand what their kids are experiencing. I think some generations defaulted to just teaching a system of morality to where this is more immoral behavior. This is immoral behavior. This is what we expect of you. And don't bring shame on our family by doing any of these sins. What was missing was shepherding of a child's heart. But regardless of how well we shepherd a child's heart, there are still sin issues. There's misperceptions. There's children who are believing lies about themselves and about others. And we need to be aware of these lies that our children are believing to the best of our ability. And we need to shepherd their hearts towards Christ to help Christ give them a new heart. All right. I hope that's helpful. I hope that that's encouraging. I hope that that helps equip you as parents. If you are the parent of an LGBTQ child, please hear no shame from me. We are all trying to figure out parenting to the best of our ability, and we need to surrender to Christ. And we'd love to have you join our parents ministry group, if that would be an encouragement to you. If you are an individual struggling with same-sex attraction, know that God's grace is sufficient. He doesn't want you to act on it. He wants to heal you, and that process takes a lifetime. But it's by his grace that he gives us boundaries. It's by his grace he reveals to us the lies we have believed. So that is a journey that's worth going on. I do want to end with this. This summer, we have been blessed by a ministry partner who is providing us a $25,000 matching donation. And so if you are encouraged by the work that Calibrate Ministries is doing and want to be a part of it, we would appreciate that. We have only a couple of weeks left to get to our $25,000 goal to receive the $25,000 matching donation. So we'd really love your support. Go to calibrateministries.com or just reach out to me on how to make a donation there. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. We pray that this is helpful and encouraging, and we will continue this work of helping people embrace God's standard for sexuality. Thank you so much.